Let's prepare to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. So join me in this prayer as we open our hearts. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey your word that I hear today in Yeshua's name. So today I am doing part three of our Hanukkah series, and my message is entitled, Be a History Maker. So in our first message, I spoke on partnering with God against evil as we studied the Maccabees' stand against tyranny that sought to destroy their faith. Last week, Rabbi Michael encouraged us about the anointing and shared with us that Adonai wants to place that anointing on us to preach the good news in the same way that he anointed Mattathias and the Maccabees to stand against the tyranny of their day. So in my message here today, I want to tie together those two messages that we've already spoken in my sermon on how to be a history maker. And once again, I'm going to focus first on the Hanukkah story and look at Mattathias and his sons as example of those who made an impact in history, a positive impact in history. Because you know you can be a history maker and make a negative impact, just saying. Judas, right? He's a history maker, but it was not for a positive thing. So we want to be like Mattathias and make a positive impact in changing the history around us, correct? Both Michael and I, in our messages, talked about the difference between Mattathias and Jason. Mattathias and Jason were both Kohanim in the Hanukkah story. Mattathias lived in the town of Modin, just a little north of northeast, I think, of Jerusalem, for when it would be his turn to go in. But Jason was in Jerusalem. And they were both in positions of leadership. They both had people looking to them. But only one impacted our Jewish people in a positive way. That was Mattathias. As we said, he chose to partner with God as he walked in the anointing to confront the evil of his day. We just sang it here in our song, Choose this day whom you will serve. On that day that those soldiers walked into Modin, Mattathias made a choice who he was going to serve. And we need to make choices today to serve the one and only God and to not bow down to the forces of darkness in our world. He chose to be a history maker, although that was not necessarily in his mind, and he fulfilled his role in his generation. So I want to talk to us about what it takes to be a history maker, what it takes to make a positive change in the world around you and me. But first, I just want to talk briefly about who can be a history maker. And to say simply, history makers are ordinary people. Have any ordinary people here in this besides me? We are extraordinary in God, but we are still ordinary people. Because these people that we read about in history books and in the Bible, because we read of the great feats that they have done, we have this notion that somehow they are superheroes. But we forget that all of these men and women were ordinary people. Mattathias was a Kohen, a priest. The men who fought with Judah Maccabee and his brothers were farmers, common people. Just like you and me. When we read about people in the Bible like Noah, Abraham, and Moshe, friends, I hate to burst your bubble, but they were just ordinary guys. Just ordinary guys going about doing their business, and one day, God tapped them on the shoulder, and they made a choice, and that choice led them to be history makers. There was nothing special about them, except for what they did under the anointing of God. I assure you, these men did not think of themselves as history makers. Noah didn't say, I'm going to build an ark and become famous. Abraham and Moshe didn't do the things they did because they knew that thousands of years later they would be considered the father of our faith and the great deliverer. These men didn't think that one day children will be singing songs about me. We have all these little children's songs about Noah and Abraham and Moshe. Father Abraham had many sons, right? Nope, that's I got children. That song will go on forever. They're just regular guys. David, Hadassah, Daniel, and his friends, they were young people who made a decision one day that allowed them to be written in the pages of history. They were ordinary young people. But at the same time, not all history makers gain notoriety to get their names written in the annals of history. We know of Gideon, but what were the names of the 300 men who fought with him? If those 300 men were not with him, that battle would not have been successful. Think about all the men who fought with Mattathias and Judah and his brothers. We have a few stories of some other people who were heroines in the day, but most of them are nameless people, yet they made a difference in history. What about the three men who courageously went to get water for King David? We don't know their names. We know Elijah by name, but what about the 7,000 other people who refused to bow to Baal? We don't know their names, but they made a difference, friends, in their generation. What about Noah's wife? Mrs. Noah. We don't know her name, but trust me, she was very important in that ark. I'm going to tell you, she organized, and that's a gifting, and she kept that ship in tight order. When you get to heaven, you can ask her. We don't know her name, but she was a history maker. The servant girl of Naaman's wife, she certainly changed history for Naaman that day when she spoke up. What about Jonathan's armor bearer? What about the children who, when Yeshua entered into Jerusalem, they called out, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. And it's recorded for us what they did, but we don't know their names. What about the widow who gave the one mite? We don't know her name, but God used her as an example about what giving is really all about. What about the shepherds and wise men who came at Yeshua's birth? What about the boy with his lunch of fish and bread? He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, we read about these people in the story, a larger story within the Bible and within history. And we remember the names of the people who were the key players. Yet these individuals were just as important in change in history. History makers are people from all walks of life and all ages. You think you're too old to be a history maker? All of my senior saints, look at me. Noah was 600 years old when he finished the ark. Just saying. Anyone close to Noah yet? You think you're too young? I know our young people upstairs, so pass this word on to them, Mom and Dad. David, Daniel, Hadassah were all probably teenagers, or maybe in their young adult years if they were maybe early 20s, but most think they were teenagers. So I'm here to tell you, don't sell yourself short. Don't say, I'm too old, Rabbi Carol, to make a difference. I'm too young. I'm to this, I'm to that. Whatever your excuse may be, I want to tell you, God wants to put that excuse to the side today because he wants you and me to be history makers. Your age, your sex, your background is not a hindrance to God. The disciples in the first century that Yeshua called fishermen ordinary common people. One was a tax collector. That was not a good job to have, I'm telling you, in the new covenant. And yet God chose Matthew, and he made a difference. So I want to tell you, ordinary people are history makers. How many ordinary people? Okay. Some of you are not lifting your hand. Are you thinking, telling me you're not an ordinary person? You are an ordinary person, and you are meant to be a history maker. So how are we going to be history makers? Let's look at this. First of all, history makers are always people who act. When confronted with evil, the Maccabees sprang into action. Again, we've been going through this story, and next week Rabbi Michael's going to conclude this series as he speaks on miracles. But listen and focus in on what they did. They did not sit passively by. When it came time, they sprang into action, and that's what makes them history makers. We have so many examples from scriptures that we have already discussed and mentioned in our series. David took action against Goliath. Hadassah took action against the evil king of Persia and Haman. All right, you were a little slow. First service was faster with that, guys. Let me try it again. Took action against Haman. At another pivotal time in our history as the Jewish people. Too many times, though, believers are caught sitting on the sideline, shaking in fear or oblivious to what is happening around them. Think of the story we shared in our first message about David and Goliath. When he came down there to the camp, where were his brothers? Where were those mighty soldiers of Israel? Shaking in fear on the sideline, not willing to act to defend their faith. Friends, I want to tell you today, do not walk in fear. We have said it many times in the last 10 months. There is a spirit of fear that has been unleashed in the world like never before. And Rabbi Michael and I are here to tell you, God has not given you a spirit of fear. Shake that fear off. Submit yourself to God. Resist the powers of darkness, and he must flee. Spirit of fear, you can come knocking at my door, but you're not welcome. But because we are in fear, or because we are oblivious, which I don't get how you can be oblivious in what's happening in our world today, but many are oblivious to what's going on, we do nothing. I'm reading in the book of Genesis in my daily devotion, and I was reading about Lot the other day, and I was struck again about what this verse said. As the angels were sent, you know, the angels came and revealed to Abraham what was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. God was going to destroy it because the evil was just a stench to his nostrils, but he was going to spare Lot because he was Abraham's nephew. And when the angels came and told the whole thing, and Lot knows what's about to happen, and the scripture says, this is the translation I was reading, said, Lot dallied. I'm like, and I wrote down in my little, what made Lot hesitate? That's what the word dally means. Okay. Why would he hesitate? What would cause him? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Lot, every time I read this passage about you, I don't get it. What made you hesitate? In fact, the scripture says the angels had to grab him by the hand and lead him out of the city. I really think that if they hadn't done that, he might have got destroyed. What were you doing, Lot? What were you thinking, is what I want to ask him. Yet that is how many believers are today. Just dallying around, not even aware of the spiritual forces that are raging around them. The city was about to be destroyed, and Lot was over here playing with his whatever in his house and dallying around until those angels pulled him out. Many believers are just playing around, again, oblivious to the spiritual forces that are raging a battle. Not in the natural, friends, although it's manifested there, but this is a heavenly battle that is going on. Friends, I'm going to tell you, now is not a time to be naive. It's not a time to be oblivious concerning the forces of evil and what's happening in our world today. I want to tell you, get ready for action. Be a Judah Maccabee. Be a David. Be a Hadassah who steps into the situation and acts bravely and courageously to confront evil that is seeking to overtake our nation and our world. Rabbi Michael, before we started this four-week series on Hanukkah, he spoke a message on being courageous. You can go to our podcast and listen to it again. It was an awesome message that encouraged us in the face of evil. Don't shrink back in fear, but be courageous and bold. And that is what history makers are. That's why they are able to act, because they are courageous and they are bold. The book of Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter is known as a faith chapter. I think it should be titled a chapter of action. Every one of these men and women who are noted for their faith sprang into action. Noah built an ark, he's listed there. Abraham left his home, he's listed there. Moshe's mother hid him for 3 months. The Israelites stepped into the Red Sea. The Israelites marched around Jericho. All of these are actions that they took. And they are history makers that we read about now in the Bible. Even towards the end of the chapter, when it gives those people, again, the nameless people, not every history maker's name is written down, friends, and that's okay. But it talks about the men and women who acted in their faith, and yet they did not receive here in this earth the fullness of the promise they were waiting for. But they still acted in faith. Today, you and I need to be people ready to act on our faith under the anointing of God and partnering with Him, as Rabbi Michael and I shared in our first two messages. Secondly, history makers make the right decision. Mishlei, Proverbs 2:9 says, "Then you will discover all that is just, proper, and fair, and be empowered to make the right decision as you walk into your destiny." I referenced this in my first message of this series about the sons of Issachar. And Chronicles tells us that they were men who knew the times and season and knew what to do. In other words, friends, that is translated into they were making the right decisions. You and I, if we're going to make history, if we're going to make a positive impact, and that's what I mean by history makers, is people who make a positive impact in their generation. If we are going to do that, we need to make right decisions. How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. First, we do need to have knowledge of what is going on in our personal lives and in the world around us. That's who the men of Issachar were. They knew what was going on. You need to know what the spiritual forces are doing. Rabbi Michael and I have shared this many times. Yeshua says in Yochanan, the thief, that means Hasatan, comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Do you see any of that thing happening in your world or in your life personally? Then, friends, you need to be alert and understand what's going on. That's the enemy trying to steal your health, trying to steal your finances, trying to destroy your marriage. I realize that in our day and age, it is becoming more difficult to know what is real and what is not, what is truth and what is not. Yet if we are not able to discern the truth, it will be hard for you and I to make the right decisions. And we need to be those who make right decisions in this day and hour. Secondly, to make right decisions means that you cannot, listen to me, cannot make them with your emotions. In a world gone chaotic and with so much being flung around, it is so easy to get your emotions riled up. I'll let you know, your rabbi's emotions have got a lot of riling up this year. Just saying, my head is shaking. I don't get what I see. When this thing first started, the liquor store could stay open, but we had to be closed. I was a little riled up about that, guys. That did not make sense to me, okay? There is so much happening that my emotions and my husband's emotions, which we're pretty intense people, if you've ever come in to talk to us, you know that. We could be laid back, but we could be pretty intense. We have to, like, pull each other down because our emotions are so riled up by the injustice that we see in our world today. But we can't make decisions out of those emotions, friends. And I'm not talking about passion because history makers are passionate people for God. And that's another point I didn't put in here, but take it now. But I'm referring to that knee-jerk reaction that leads you to say or do something that does not have a positive impact in your life or on the people around you. For example, at work, your boss tells you to do such and such, and instead of doing it, you lay into the boss because you think you know better and he has no clue what he's talking about. And that knee-jerk emotional reaction, does it ever bring good things into your life, friends? Nah, not at all. And none of us will change history by trying to make decisions out of our emotions. Okay, Rabbi Kara, so I don't lead with my emotions. How do I make decisions then? I'm going to tell you how. Hear the voice of the Spirit. He alone can lead us to make right decisions. And in doing that, I'm going to tell you right now, do not make assumptions. We are good at assuming things, people. The men of Issachar, they didn't make assumptions. They knew and understood the season. Why? Because God had revealed it. And that led them to know exactly what to do. Do not make assumptions. And I know this is not a heavy revy, and you're going to say, really, Rabbi Carol? But you want to know how to make the right decision? One word, pray. Oh, Rabbi Carol, pray. Over all my years of being married to my beloved sitting over there, I have heard him say so many times, God is the best communicator. He is the best communicator. How did the men of Issachar know what to do? God communicated it to them. They were in tune with him. So how am I going to know what is the right decision for me and my family? As for me and my family, we are going to choose to serve the Lord. How is that going to be played out for us? How are we going to know what that is? Because we need to pray and hear the voice of God. God will help us just as he has helped every generation before us. Navigate through these tumultuous times. And in doing so, he wants each of us to be history makers in this day and this hour. One speaker said, it is in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. Make right decisions, not out of emotions, not out of assumptions, but knowing the times and seasons because you are in tune, you are hearing the voice of God, the Spirit of God. Not only do history makers make the right decisions, but they also know how to stay focused. Mishlei again, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 says, set your gaze on the path before you with fixed purpose, looking straight ahead. Ignore life's distractions. Friends, it is so easy to get distracted by peripheral issues. Distractions will hinder us from changing history today. Mattathias and his sons, I believe, had a clear focus. Under Adonai's anointing, they resolved that they would not allow tyranny to rule in their land anymore. They refused to allow a pagan king to deny them the right to worship the God of heaven, the creator of the earth. Rabbi Michael alluded to this last week. Our main focus is to be proclaimers of the good news and shining the light of Messiah in the darkness of evil around us. That's why we cry out for a spiritual revival, spiritual revolution. It's not a politician, it's not a policy that is going to change our world. We need hearts to be changed. And how does that happen? With a proclamation of the good news. So that needs to be our focus. That is our purpose as believers, is to share the good news. And every person that I share the good news to and that you share the good news to who comes to faith in Messiah, I could begin to weep as I read, and we shared this with you, the email. And I don't know if you listened to me, the gentleman who emailed me a couple weeks ago, but I could begin to weep even now as I think about what he wrote. Rabbi Carroll, I am one of those people that you spoke about, and today I prayed to receive Yeshua. And with all my heart, I'm going to follow him. Rabbi Carroll, pray for me. Friends, that's what it is about. That's my focus, and that should be your focus, being the light that shines in the darkness. Because as we do that, and as one person, and then another person, and another person, it becomes a domino effect, and it'll change our world. They were focused. I remember a scene from the movie Patriot. I don't know if you know this movie. It's an old movie. And it's the setting is in the Revolutionary War. And there was a father. He was a widow. Where he had, and he had the children that he's raising on his own. And he said, this war is not my war. It's not my battle. I'm not going to get involved. Till one day, the war came knocking on his door. And the British soldiers rode up to his house. And in the aftermath of what happened, one of his sons, probably a 10-year-old, was shot and killed. That father became involved in the war after that. And this movie is about that war, the Revolutionary War, and about this man and his family's part in that war. And one of the things that he and his men and his son, he had the older son who was probably in his early 20s who fought alongside his father. They had a phrase, and it's a military phrase. It probably actually started as a nautical phrase, but the phrase they used in the film was, stay the course. Stay the course. In other words, don't get distracted. The main thing is the main thing. This is what we are trying to do. Don't get distracted by peripheral things. Don't get distracted by your emotions. Remember, we're not making decisions out of emotions. So one day, some of his men get captured, and he wants to get his men back. So he happens to have, I'm not going to the story how he has them, but he has these dogs who are beloved dogs to this British general. So this general has his men, so he reaches out to the general and says, I will give you your dogs in exchange for my men. The general says yes. He rides into his camp with his dogs, and his men are released, and he's going out. They're leaving. And all of a sudden, right in front of him stands the man who killed his son. And you can see the emotion raging, and you know he is ready to take action. And his older son says, stay the course. Stay the course. If he had acted in his emotion at that very moment, not only would he have lost his life, but his entire group of men that he had just delivered. Friends, we have to stay focused. We cannot make decisions out of emotions. We have to stay focused on what God has called us to do. We cannot get distracted by peripherals, by the things that the enemy would put in our path. It took Noah around 100 years to build the ark. Do you think he had to be focused? I can imagine around year 50, he's like, okay, maybe there's something else I can do, God, besides build a boat. But that was his job, for 100 years, and Noah made a difference in history. You and I are here today because of Noah. You understand that? All of the animals that we see are here today because Noah worked for 100 years building an ark. So how are we going to stay the course, Rabbi Carol? The writer of the Messianic Jews, and he in chapter 12, that's book of Hebrews, starts with this phrase, verse 2, fix our eyes on Yeshua. Friends, that is the only way we are going to stay the course. In all of the chaos that is going on, and all of the uncertainty, my children come to me often, especially my son, and this is what I say to my son, Josiah, you got to keep your focus on God. Is everything going to be all right? I said, Josiah, this week, I said, Josiah, I know. He called me. I was here in the office. I said, Josiah, I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, I know that everything is going to be all right because I know the God that I serve. Now, that doesn't mean everything's going to turn out the way you want, Josiah, all right? But I'm going to tell you everything is going to be all right. And what you need to do, what I need to do, friends, is just keep our focus on God Almighty, on who he is as our deliverer, as we sung in the first song, Al HaNisim, the one who delivered and did great miracles. I remember one mentor once told me, as he was training me, it was a pastor from South Carolina. I went down there for a training, and I remember he said, keep the main thing the main thing. Carol, keep the main thing the main thing. That's our focus. Keep the main thing the main thing. Next, history makers make a difference where they live. Mattathias started in his town of Modin. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to any other city in Israel. He didn't go to any other country. He started right where he was. He made a difference at that moment in time in his small town of Modin among the people of his village when he stood up to that Syrian officer. But that one act sparked a revolution that preserved the Jewish people. And it became a domino effect. Now, my actions and your actions may not spark a revolution, and that's okay, friends. But I can impact my life and the people around me. I have a beautiful family. My children are ministering elsewhere in the building. But the decisions that I make are going to impact my husband and my two children. The decisions I make are going to impact you as my congregation, impact my community, my state, my country. We need to start exactly where God has placed us. The servant girl didn't change the history for all of the world, but she did change Naaman's life. He was healed of leprosy because she made a decision to open her mouth and speak. If we change the world one person at a time, it's going to become a domino effect. It's going to be powerful. That's what the first century believers did. 12 men turned the world upside down, one person at a time. The Great Awakening, the Great Revivals. We did a series many years ago on the revival, starting in the scriptures and going down through history. They all started with ordinary people who, one at a time, made a choice and a decision that changed lives. The boy with his lunch didn't change the history of the world, but he changed those 5,000 plus people who were sitting there and were very, very hungry and allowed Yeshua to make a miracle that those 5,000 plus people, I am sure, talked about until the day they died. And they probably repeated that miracle over and over again and shared it with other people who came to faith because they said, no, I was there. There was this little boy. He had these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Yeshua told us to sit down in groups of 50 and 100. And we are thinking, are you kidding me? I take 5 loaves and 2 fish just to feed my family. And then all of a sudden, the Talmidim, the disciples, start handing out the baskets. And now if you're sitting at the back of the crowd, you're thinking, wow, I wish I'd been up closer. Just telling you, that's why it's always good to sit at the front. In our climate right now, you have assigned seats, sorry. But when we don't have no more assigned seats, I'm telling you, everyone should be vying for the front row. Because those who were at the back were thinking, oh, look at the baskets. They're going to run out. And if you have that kid beside you, like my kid, my son knew exactly when noon was. And we were working down here at the building, and we're working away, and everyone knows I can work the whole day and not eat. Once I get focused on something, my son would come up to me and say, Mom, it's lunchtime. Now, he doesn't have it's only 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. He doesn't have a watch. I'm like, Josiah, it's not lunchtime. Yeah, it is, Mom. I go look at the clock. Sure enough, it was noon. It's like he had this internal clock. So if you were one of those families sitting in the back who had a son like mine, Mom, I want to eat, I want to eat. And you're thinking, oh, I bet we don't get any of that food. But the food made it back. Because one boy brought us lunch that day, and he chose to say, here, Yeshua, here's my 5 loaves. Years ago, we taught a song about that little boy, and I remember the one opening line. It says, just 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You got to give God what you got. It takes more than good wishes, but it doesn't take a lot. Friends, it doesn't take a lot to make a difference exactly where you're at. Just give God what you got. All of these people we've talked about, the servant girl, Jonathan's almond bearer, they serve to remind us that we should not feel insignificant or think that we cannot change anything for ourselves or other people around us because all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. What can that do? That little boy could have just kept it for himself. But no. Friend, if each one of us chooses to make a difference in our sphere of influence, in our homes, at our workplace, in our community, how powerful that would be. Rav Shaul encourages us in Colossians chapter 3, put your heart and soul into every activity you do. Friends, that is what I'm encouraging you to do. Right where you are, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your congregation here at Beth Emanuel, or wherever you're at when you are listening online, in that community of faith that you are in, you choose to make a difference right where you are. And it's going to spark others to do the same. And finally, I want to share with you that history makers live their lives for others. You see, Mattathias wasn't just standing up for himself. He wasn't concerned only for his life or his family. If that were the case, he could have snuck away and lived his life in isolation, secluded away from the tyranny of the world around him. And friends, many people would like to do that. Even today, many people would like to just withdraw. It's just us four and no more. As long as my family is safe, it's I'm okay. Friends, I'm going to tell you right now, God says, that's not what he's asking of you. Do you hear me? It's not okay. It's just you're four and no more. God says you need to live your life for others. As I said in my first message, I believe Mattathias was concerned for the future generations of Jewish people. I want to tell you right now, with what is going on in our world today, my husband and I have spoken a lot about this. I'm concerned for my children. What world will they be living in? And for my children's children. And for the future generations, what I see in this world alarms me. Alarms me for the future generations to come. So I'm going to live my life for others. I'm going to live my life to make a difference so that the generations that come after me can worship their faith freely. Amen? But it's hard to live for others. For years, we've been told to think about ourselves, focus on me, let me get ahead, let me have a name for myself, let me leave a legacy, me, me, me. We live in a selfie society. How many pictures can we post of ourselves today? I want to tell you, selfie people don't make history. They're not history makers in the way that I'm talking about. History makers do not live for themselves. They live for others. And I want to tell you, if there is ever a day and if there is ever an hour when we need people to live for others, friends, today is the hour. Today is the day. Well, you need to make that choice like Mattathias and his sons did. I'm going to live for others to preserve our faith for future generations to come after us. As we have said already, it's not far-fetched to think that they would forbid us worshiping the one true God as they did in the days of Mattathias. Just in the country north of us, Canada, a pastor got fined for being in the worship service. Yep, $2,000. Because he went to a worship service. Friends, this is the day and this is an hour where we need to live for the future generations. Yeshua says in Yochanan, John chapter 15, verse 13, for the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. And this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. Another translation says, no greater love has a man than he lay down his life for another. Sacrifice is needed if we're going to live for the next generation. Does it mean that you and I are going to have to give our life, although that might come to some. But it does mean if I'm going to live my life for others, I have to sacrifice something. And that's not something we normally like to do. And as I said, yes, it may lead to some people giving their lives physically. Many brave Jewish men and women lost their lives in the fight of Hanukkah. But because they willingly lived their lives for others, you sit here in this sanctuary today celebrating Hanukkah. They fought to stop the evil of their day. Evil that said you cannot worship how you want. Evil that said you cannot worship the one true God of Israel anymore. Friends, that evil is in our world today in a greater measure than ever before. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a history maker? That's what God is looking for today. God is looking for ordinary people like you and like me who will partner with God under the anointing to change our communities and our world one person at a time. Rabbi Michael led us in worship. Choose this day whom you will serve. Friends, in this day and hour, God is looking for history makers, and they're looking for people who will simply say, Hineni, here I am, God, who will once again reaffirm their availability to God and say, God, Hineni, here I am. I will be a history maker in whatever way you ask me to do. I will change my family, my community around me. I will listen and hear and make decision based on what you tell me. And I will step into action and fight the fight that will preserve our faith for generations to come. Choose this day to be a history maker. One person can change history. Mattathias did not have a large gathering around him that day when he stepped up to face that soldier. He did not have a huge organization behind him or some corporation funding him. He simply stepped up and said, "Hineni, here I am, God. I choose this day. I will not tolerate evil anymore in my land. I will not tolerate those who tell me I cannot worship you, God. I will fight for the future generations to come. God, I'm going to live my life for others." He made a decision that day. It wasn't out of emotion. It was out of passion. Because he discerned the season and the time, and he knew exactly what he needed to do. Friends, I pray that you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, and that you have the will to step up and to do what God calls you to do in your sphere of influence. What he calls you to do, he may not call me to do. What he calls me to do, he may not call you. But we each have something we can do in this day and in this hour to change history, to preserve our faith for future generations. Choose to be that light in the darkness. Choose to shine brightly wherever God has placed you. Choose to share the good news under the anointing of God Almighty to bring the lost to salvation. And as you and I make that choice, we will be history makers. Our name may never be written in the history book. We may never make the news. And we may die and no one ever remember us. But when we get to heaven, we're going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why? Because we chose to follow God, even when it wasn't popular. We chose to make a difference by living our lives for him in the way he called us to do. So let us be history makers, following in the footsteps of Mattathias and Judah and many other men and women we read about in the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet as we prepare to close. Before I pray over the message, I want to give opportunity once again for those who do not know Yeshua personally. Perhaps you listen to this message and you think, "Wow, that's pretty radical. Yeah, Rabbi Carroll, I don't know if I could do anything like that. Yeah, I know about God, but I don't really know him." Well, I want to tell you today that there's good news for you. Today you can know God personally just like I do. So I'm going to lead us in the prayer. And whoever you may be, whether you're here in the sanctuary, or maybe you're like the gentleman who prayed with me a couple weeks ago, watching on YouTube, maybe you're watching on YouTube right now or Facebook, or maybe you're listening to this message on our podcast, someone sent it to you. I want to tell you, it's not by accident, because God loves you so much that he brought you to this point and you listened to this whole message for this one moment in time. Because God wants you to know him and he wants you to have your name written in the book of life. So I'm going to lead us in the prayer. It's a simple prayer, but it will forever change your life. And as I said before, if you pray this prayer and you're in this sanctuary, I would like you to come and speak to me or my husband. If you're watching online on YouTube or Facebook or listening to the podcast, if you mail me a letter to P.O. Box 453 here in Holbrook, New York, or you can email me at info@bethemmanuel.com, I will get it and I will respond. So let's pray this prayer. I'd like to ask those who are in the sanctuary to all pray it with me. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Yeshua to die for my sins. Today I choose to accept his sacrifice on my behalf. Forgive me my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Amen. Amen. If you pray that prayer and you meant it, it will forever change your life for the good. And again, I and my husband would love to encourage you in this decision that you have made and to help you. Our purpose here at Beth Emanuel is to connect people to the Messiah and help them get from where they are to where God wants them to be, and we would like to be a part of that. So again, reach out to me, info@bethemanuel.com, and I would love to chat with you. I want to just pray a blessing over you before I go to the Ronnie Bennett lesson. God, I just thank you for the message that you have spoken, and I pray for every single person listening here in this sanctuary and listening on the podcast, on YouTube and Facebook this morning. God, I pray that we would be history makers in this day and this hour, God, that we ordinary people that we are, that we would rise up and we would say, Hineni, here I am, God. God, I want to count in my generation, Lord. I want my children and my children's children to know that I stood for righteousness, that I stood for truth in an hour when evil was seeking to put out the light of your holiness and your righteousness. God, we all say, Hineni, here I am. Hinenu, here we are. At Beth Emanuel, may you find those who are willing to partner under your anointing to make a difference in our society, to share the light of your goodness in the darkness around us. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Let me close with the Aaronic benediction. And then as you leave today, please, 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 there are donuts on the table. So make sure you take a sufganiyot, a donut to go home with you. And our nursery children, please get your bag from Miss Adeline, our nursery director. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'ikuneka, yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yisim lecha shalom. May you walk under God's anointing, under his banner of peace. May you be a history maker this week, right where you're at. In Yeshua's name, Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, Happy Hanukkah.